Amen. Thank you, Michelle, Loretta, Rita, Sue, Brandon, JD.
Woo!
Everybody doing everything up in here. Thank you.
Amen.
It's all about God.
It is.
It isn't about me. It's about God. Let's pray. Father, that you love us and care for us. We are created from your mind, your heart, and your will. And for you to show us the type of love, the depth of love, the consistent love, is so far beyond my ability to understand what gets you. I pray that we will always remember it's because of your love that allowed you to part with the greatest part of you, your son Jesus. For you're created and you let him take on every single possible sin that we can imagine. From the beginning of time to now to the end of time as we know it, and still you allowed him to take all that on. And then Jesus, your precious soft heart, the true and only Lamb of God, you stayed there because of that love for your Father and for us. And I pray we never, ever forget that. I pray we will always be unified regardless of what state, what country. It doesn't matter the size of the fellowship. What matters is the love that you show to us.
Yes.
And we are obligated and should be absolutely grateful and more than anything else compelled to show that love to each other and to each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I thank you for the Tri-County Church. I thank you for the doctors. I thank you for the Raymonds. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that came from Nashville to be one with the church.
Yes.
Because we are one. Lord, I don't even feel worthy to even say anything now after everything else that's been done. I just pray that whatever I say can encourage and inspire and let your spirit move in the direction you want it to go. I pray this to Jesus.
Amen.
Job 37. I'm going to read that. I don't know if you guys get Bible Gateway, but I do. But sometimes you get in a rush, so Bible Gateway pops up, and I read it.
Yeah.
And I'm praying. Today there's a particular scripture, Job 37, and I'm going to read it. And I won't be up here long. I try my best not to. You're not dealing with a brother that is a professional anything other than in the field of IT. But anything else, I'm going to trust God.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Yeah.
Job 37. At this, my heart pounds and leaps from its place. Listen. Listen to the roar of his voice, to the roaming rumbling that comes from his mouth. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain shower, be a mighty downpour, so that everyone who has made know his work. He stops all people from their labor. The animals take cover. They remain in their dens. The tempests come out from his chambers. The cold from the driving winds. The breath of God produces ice. And the broad waters become frozen. He loads the clouds with moisture and scatters his lightning through them. At his directions, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth. And to do whatever he commands them, he brings the clouds to punish people or to water his earth and show his love. Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Do you know how God controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang poised? Those wonders of him who has perfect knowledge. You who shelters and clothes when the land lies hushed under the south wind, can you join him in spreading out the skies as a mirror of the cast bronze? Tell us what we should say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of our darkness. Should he be told what I want to speak? Would anyone ask to be swallowed up? No, no one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the sky, after the wind has swept them clean. Out of the north he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice, a great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore, people revere him, for does he not have regard for all the wise in heart? The greatness of God.
Amen.
The greatness of God.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw that and I'm like, well, share that today. I didn't plan to share that. But it took me back. I'm like, this is the greatness of God. And how many times we forget that?
Nope.
That's a scary thought. So I've been praying and thinking about what can I share? All right. So I'm going to share with you the things that I'm coming into a much deeper conviction about. And I'm not going to try to preach to you. I'm just going to share with you what I'm learning. And I'm happy to do that.
Come on.
Because the Word of God teaches that we can share with each other to help each other to grow.
That's right.
So that's what I'm going to share with you. If you got an issue with anything I say, come see me after.
Serve it hot.
So this is the title I gave to this, what I'm going to share. What kinds of wake are you leaving behind? So the theme scripture will be Matthew 7 and 7, and it asks, it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. 1 John 5 and 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
That's right.
James 4 and 15, instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Philippians 2 and 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let's define the word wait for a second. So the verb version of the word wait means to emerge or cause to emerge from a state of sleep. Proverbs 20 and 13 says, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have room to spare.
Come on.
So we need to wake up.
Amen.
Be alert and remember and understand that Satan at every waking moment wants to destroy us.
Yep.
He hates us. He hates what you all in Tri-County, Jackson, Mississippi is doing. He hates it with a passion.
Yep.
He does not want any one of us to be successful. He doesn't want the Dockeries to be successful. He doesn't want the Raymers to be successful. He doesn't want anybody in this room to be successful. We need to understand he's not playing and we don't need to play.
Amen.
Now let's look at the other word of it as we look at the word wait. Ceremonial, and I'm getting this from Google because I am not a genius by no stretch. And it talks about the ceremony. Who knows about what a wake means as far as when it comes to funerals and later we have a vigil that we hold for when someone lies in state. Romans 6 and 12 says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we ain't talking about no dead folk up here.
That's right.
No.
We are alive in Christ.
Yeah. Yep.
I like your youthfulness. I was young. So I'm talking to you about how this was up here one time. So in my chest. But that's okay. God ain't changed. His mercy's still the same.
Right.
But But for our discussion today, and I'll make it very brief, we will reference the now version of the word what. So think about it for a second. So if you think about a vessel or a ship or an airplane, when it travels, the ship travels on the water, and you look behind it, it's leaving what?
A wake.
A wake. So it's ripples of water, depending on the size of the ship, will depend on how much of a wake it leaves.
Yep.
Question. What does a wake do? Interactive here. What exactly does a wake do?
Swamps
ripples of water.
Pushing out
water. Come on, y'all know this.
It moves.
It's disrupting. It moves.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. That's all a wake does. It just moves. Airplane. Get behind an airplane engine. Jet engine. When it flies off and pushes the thrust back, what happens? It stuff moves.
Yep.
Do you want to be behind either one of them?
No.
If you think I'm kidding, get behind one of them and see what happens to you. I'm not getting behind a jet engine or a giant ship. However, the word vessel was interesting here because I think the scriptures kind of refer to us as being vessels, right?
Yeah.
So, what about that wake we just talked about with these other vessels? Mm-hmm. See, the thing that we're talking about here in this, there's another word or a synonym for the word wake. It's called to disrupt, to stir, or to shake up.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about shaking up here for a minute.
Okay. Okay.
Now, shaking up, regardless, occurs when we move something, disrupt something, out of the norm.
Right.
We've been accustomed to being a certain kind of way for so long.
Yep.
Yet God causes us to get shaken up in our lives, right?
That's right.
To get out of the norm that we've been used to.
That's right.
Why? For our benefit. If we stay the way we were, guess what? We'd be messed up.
Yeah.
And we were messed up. Right. And if we're foolish enough to think that we still ain't messed up, then we got a problem.
Yep.
Come on.
We got issues.
Yeah.
Consider this for a moment. Let's look at a couple of examples of what disruption, why disruption is necessary. Cooking and eating. For those of you that bake or good cooks or maybe some chefs in here, when you want to bake a cake, you put the ingredients into a bowl. What is it? Milk, salt, whatever, baking soda. What happens if you just put those ingredients in the bowl and you just let it sit there?
Nothing.
Nothing happens. It'll just sit there.
Yep.
Try to put those bowls into a pan and put it in an oven and see what happens. You end up burning up something.
Yep.
But nothing happens. The desired effect will not happen. Another example. Salad dressing. You ever get a salad dressing sometime and it says, shake it up first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes you don't get them oils and them herbs and everything stirred up.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna taste right.
That's right.
Then you be blaming the store and saying, oh, they cheated me. No, you should have shook it up. Shake it up. What is something different? For us, let's look at a couple of examples of sports. Muhammad Ali, Babe Ruth, Julius Erving. Now, y'all, some of y'all youngest might not
remember. Come on.
Julius Erving came to our time.
Yes. Dr. J.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Billie Jean King, Serena Williams.
Yep.
These people, in their perspective, sports shook up the world.
Yep.
They shook up their world. They shook up the world. Why? Let's look at Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was so secure in his greatness, in his mind, that he said, I shook up the world after one of his fights.
Yep.
I shook up the world. I shook up the world.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of ways he did.
Yep.
Because if you read his biography, you'll find that he didn't just champion in the ring. He did things outside of the ring.
Yep.
It'd be interesting to read history to find out what else he did outside of the ring. We look at Billie Jean King, one of notice is one of the greatest tennis players, female tennis players of all time.
Yeah.
But she didn't just play tennis. She pursued equality for women,
yep,
both in the tennis world and the professional world. And because of her efforts, has changed the scope of how women are treated in the profession today.
Yep.
She's one of those pioneers. We need to remember those kinds of things. Nelson Mandela, well known for his work in apartheid in South Africa, because of all the injustices indignities and oppression and all those things that culture and bringing down on South Africans and others.
Yeah.
The man suffered personal tragedies in his own life. Jailed and tortured and all these kinds of things. But that man shook up the world because of his courage. Because he had a focus. He was determined. What does that say about him?
Amen. Amen.
Mother Teresa, same thing. We know about her work in helping the poor. She shook up her world. She shook up the world because of what she did, her work. Mother Teresa. Now let's look at just a couple of spiritual men. Moses. The Bible teaches that Moses became an instrument of God to free the Hebrews from Egypt captivity.
Yeah.
Why? Well, Moses had to go through quite a bit of a transformation too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If you study it out, he went through all of those things because God wanted to use him to impact the world. And Moses is considered one of the greatest prophets in the Bible.
Yep.
But if you read, Moses didn't have it easy. A whole lot of stuff went through him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm looking across the room, and I'm going to call you out. I'm looking at some of the young folk. Your eyes getting a little droopy. Looks like y'all getting bored. So, listen carefully, because as you get older, you will experience shakeups in your life.
That's right.
Yeah. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
When those shakeups come, how will you respond?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's real easy when your youth is here and you say, I got time to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
When you get older, not so much.
But
keep your eyes focused. It'll tell you. I thought the same thing, and that's why my chest went south. Jeremiah was guided by God to proclaim that the nation of Judah would be faced with all kinds of plagues because they didn't listen and continue with the covenant of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, look here, I've had enough of what y'all are doing. So he said that, man, do you think that Jeremiah liked being in the position of going and bringing bad news all the time?
No.
They called him the weeping prophet. Why? Because I'm always bringing bad news.
Yep.
Isaiah, the restoration of Israel.
Amen.
From Babylonian captivity. Calling those people to repent from foreign gods and from the covenant that God made. John the Baptist, referred to as the forerunner to Jesus, stated clearly that he's not the Messiah, but he wasn't afraid of the norm of the day. He shook it up real bad to the point where they beheaded him.
Yep.
And Peter, the rock of the church. Peter's temperament got him in trouble many a time.
Yep.
His view challenged the religious views of the day. But Peter stayed awake.
Yep.
And Paul, killer of the Jews, of Christians, of people that said, I want to follow God. Look at what happened in his conversion. His life got shook up real bad.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how I would feel if the light of Jesus came down and blinded me and said, why you persecuted me? I would be so terrified if Jesus spoke to me in his voice. I would be messed up probably for the rest of the year.
Wow.
Not more. But that's the kind of God we have.
Yes.
And we serve. So how did these people shake up the world and others around? Well, just like that ship and that plane, they needed fuel. Try to fly a plane without putting fuel in it. Try to go in that ship without fuel. Try to drive your car without fuel. And you try to go for a while without fuel.
That's right.
Whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. You got to have fuel. The fuel that we're talking about is God's word.
Amen.
Yes. Yep.
God's word is the fuel that we to move forward. See, you don't see no boats going backwards.
Right.
They're always going forward.
Uh-huh.
Planes don't fly backwards. They fly forward. If a plane starts flying backwards and I ain't flying with a passion, I'm not getting on it. Y'all can laugh if you want to, but I'm not getting on it. If the thrust is going this way and the plane is going this way, it's moonwalking and I don't want to be on it.
Come on, plane.
But how do we also do when it comes to, do we realize that God expects us to leave wakes in our lives,
mm-hmm,
and for others' lives as well? This book here is an amazing book. Some of you may know about it. Timothy Keller, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. I'm going to tell you something. I'm halfway through it. This is one of the most hard-to-read books I've ever read in my life. I've been a Christian about 30 years, coming up on 30 years. And this is one of those books where it will challenge you to your core, your beliefs and everything. It's worth it, though, if you can read it. The tragedies and everything are embedded in the book, but the way he breaks it out, and he has contributors in here, I challenge anyone in here to read this book. It will help set a lot of things straight. So, just saying, how that has impacted me, it helped me to put some things in perspective as to why does God allow things to happen in the way that they happen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why certain things have occurred in my life that aren't good.
Amen.
I don't understand when I'm trying to do the right thing, I still seem to get knocked down.
Yep.
I wonder why, after all these efforts, and I've prayed to God constantly, asked, I see wrestling with the same thing over and over, and I just can't seem to get past it, and it just drives me insane. Like, is it worth it? That's exactly where God wants us to be, is to understand his sovereignty in all of it. When we're going through things that we have not been able to grapple with and understand, why? God is sovereign.
Yep.
He's sovereign. You all here in Tri-County have worked. I know you have. You've worked, and I imagine sometimes you had to ask yourself a question. Why?
Yep.
Why hasn't the church grown a little bit more? Why is it that when I'm on campus, it doesn't seem like I'm having an impact? Yeah, that's normal. Has anyone in here ever heard about or heard of the butterfly effect? I'm not talking about the movie. There you go. So, she's going to understand. That's what I'm talking about. Woo! I got somebody up in here. So, essentially, the butterfly effect, and I'll just tell you, it was basically created by a meteorologist, Edward Lorenz, in 1972, and describing how small changes in one place can lead to larger differences, and they are tied to what's called the chaos theory. So have you ever felt like your life is in a state of chaos?
Hmm.
Sometimes you just go one way and it's just all like the madness. You can't say, and God, oh my goodness, what is it? But you know what? The reason I really love that is because it says, in the chaos theory, the butterfly effect is the sensitive dependence on initial conditions in which a small change in one state of a determinative nonlinear system that results in larger differences in another state. All right, so that's meteorology and mathematical speak. Bottom line is, when we take a pebble, we drop it in the water, we see ripples.
Yeah.
How do we know that those little ripples don't cause some other process to start that we don't know? The butterfly effect really says, how do we know that a butterfly from another part of the world, when it flaps its wings, doesn't cause a reaction of another kind that causes other things that eventually end up to where we are now?
Mm-hmm.
My point being, How do you know that whatever you do, whatever it's small or not, doesn't create some type of a process or something going on in someone else's life?
Amen.
Amen.
See, when you get discouraged, that's what Satan wants you to do, is focus away from the butterfly effect. We get to thinking, oh, it's got to be all these grandiose things, and we've just got to do all these. No! Jesus said your mustard seed needs to be small as a mustard seed for him to work.
That's right.
He didn't say it had to be huge. Who are we to determine when we say or do something that it ain't creating some kind of an effect that's moving out?
That's right.
We need to believe that God is the one that's sovereign and in control, and take ourselves out of the picture.
Yep.
You share your faith with somebody? Maybe that's all you were supposed to do.
Yep.
That makes me think about that scripture that talks about the one who what?
So,
plants, waters, you have to get it in the right order. The point is that maybe that was your point. You shared. You planted. Someone else, it might be Loretta. She might come and say, or Rita, sorry. And she might say, hey, I'm going to get out the church. It might be some kind act. You don't know.
Yep.
And then someone else, it might be Chip, that comes and say, they might be into a Bible study, and Chip might end up in a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever know. Anything that any one of us is going through right now, and I'm going to close in a minute, anything that anybody is going through right now, you have no idea what impact you're having on someone else.
Amen. That's right.
And I don't dare say that because I'm not in your situation, whatever it is, I won't ever dare say, oh, man, if I were in that situation, I'd do this, that, the other, or what have you. I'm not walking in your shoes.
Right.
That's right.
I am not going to ever say that, because God allows people to walk in their shoes and your shoes for his glory and for a reason that we don't understand. But guess what? If we can grapple with the fact that some reason I don't understand, God has allowed this to happen. You know what? You don't realize that you're creating those ripple effects, those shaking up, those waves that wake somewhere else. Don't ever think that what you do doesn't matter to God.
That's right.
If your heart is pure, you better believe that you're making waves around this world.
Yep. Amen.
So I guess I want to close, and I know it may not have been this fiery, big, giant message that anyone was looking at. I just want to, more than anything, encourage my brothers and sisters here, your work is being seen by God, number one.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if anybody else sees a thing as long as God sees it.
That's right.
That's it.
Right.
The second thing is, as brothers and sisters who are supposed to be united by the love of God, we need to be understanding and seeing each other's work.
Amen.
Yep.
I don't care if the church is 5 or 5,000. Do we think that the number in the numbers mean any difference to God when it comes to his love and what his purpose is going to
be? No.
We better wake up and do the understanding that it's all about God.
That's right.
This is all about God. I appreciate each one of you so much.
Yeah.
Brother, and I got a chance to retire with you, but LSU beat up on that. So me and you got this moment right there. And I just want to tell you guys from me, and I just give me a moment. If I have been amiss in being here with you all, or I admire you. And in Nashville, you're being seen.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Amen.
Tom Jones, he really wanted to come. He said to me, if I could, I would come. And he would have.
Yep.
He's just got some personal things going on in his life that prevented him from coming. Barry Holt, there were so many others that would have come. It's just the time. You'll be seen and you'll be in love.
Right.
And to see Rita and Chip make that trip down here like that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's amazing.
We're glad to be able to do it.
She loves you. Right.
So, I guess all I want to say is, don't give up.
Amen.
Amen.
And I look at Cherise, sister, you're a beautiful woman.
Amen.
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 That's God's glory.
Amen.
Shining in your face.
Yep.
And you got a man like that to help that glory to keep going. Amen. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity to share just a minute. Now, because we think you guys are so amazing, I want to share this one scripture that has been very helpful for me. Psalms 31. I'm just going to share a split second of it.
Come on.
Psalms 141.
Okay.
That's a total big book. Sorry. Whenever I feel down and discouraged, it has been one of my rock scriptures. And I really appreciate y'all listening to me, because I'm kind of like, you ever get up here and you get nervous?
Yeah.
You don't know what you want to say. You want to make a sense.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
You don't want tell.
To be real scared. You know, you don't want folks' eyes drooping on. I'm going to hurry it up. All right, I'm about to sit down. But here's one I'm going to leave you with. One that is still to this day keeps me encouraged. And I won't read the whole thing. I'll spare you that this time. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you.
Mm-hmm.
May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the...
Come on,
Clayton.
May the lifting of my hands be like the healing sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord.
Yes.
Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. I love you guys. And I pray that we will be unified through Christ.
Amen.
And I wanted to have a little something for you all. Thank you.
Thank you.